KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Happy Friday, everybody. Jim Williams sitting in for Steve Ryman. I'm glad you joined us today. Brian Cochran, Certified Investment Advisor with John Moore Associates, is with us. You can go to johnmoore.com and follow along on their website. All kinds of great information on the Insights tab. Brian, welcome.
Yeah, glad to be here. Always fun to be here in person for a good full hour.
I love it. We're going to talk about common retirement mistakes. People 60 plus, there's a lot. You're not in that category, but I am. And I'm a little farther past 60 than I like to admit, but I am. And so, you know, I think there's hope for anybody. There's always a time where you can start saving money. You can always put yourself on a budget, different things. So we're going to spend a couple hours or an hour talking about this. I meant to say a couple segments. But I want to first talk about John Moore Associates. You've been helping us, Brian, for a long time. Faith 5 program here on KLYT is sponsored by your organization, Christian Principles of Investing and Saving Money, Living Generously. Talk to us about John Moore Associates.
Yeah, so we're a registered investment advisor, which basically means we're an independent firm. We don't work for a bank or an insurance company, anything like that. And our main office is here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we have a second office in Scottsdale, Arizona. So we're a team of about 15 folks that work with us, and all very committed to this idea of applying biblical wisdom to people's financial decisions. And that could be their general financial planning, like how to save and spend and give, but also their investment management decisions. So what goes into their portfolio, what to buy and sell at different times. We handle both lanes of finance in that way. And we do it this way. We do it through biblical principles because we know they work. And we are fiduciaries. We have to do what's in our client's best interest. And we think it's in their best interest to follow what Scripture says about how to make wise decisions around all those key areas of money management.
Brian, how many people that you talk with don't realize that giving is part of investing?
Yeah, it's interesting. One thing we try to teach people is that everything belongs to God. Scripture is very clear about that. So every dollar you ever manage, you're really managing not for just yourself, but you're managing it on behalf of the real owner, which is our God that we worship and steward assets for. And then, so one way to think of it is everything you do is an investment of some kind. It's an investment in your family's health, in relationships, or, you know, with your giving. It could be investment in the kingdom and community. And so if you think of everything as a form of investing and you want to see different types of return, whether it's relational return, spiritual return, financial return, there's all these different ways to see benefit from the assets you steward. And investing in giving is one of the ways to do that.
I remember when I was very young, so 20s, early 20s, getting my first job, and I remember signing up for that 401k and retirement is a conversation for most people when they get their first full-time job. But how many people are really prepared for retirement when they get to be 60 plus?
Yeah, it's not as many as we would hope. You know, the average savings for people in their 50s and 60s is not a good number. I found a survey from the Employee Benefits Research Institute, and it suggested that about 28% of people are very confident they're prepared for retirement. That's not a bad number. About 41% would say they're at least somewhat confident. I was honestly a little surprised at those numbers, mm-hmm. Jim, just because when people walk through our doors and seek our advice, a lot of them don't feel that confident. And I would say there's two camps to that. There's the group that doesn't feel confident because they know the writing's on the wall. They haven't saved enough, and they're in catch-up mode. And there could be really good reasons for them to be behind. You know, maybe they've had medical issues. They had to support family. They lost jobs. Things maybe within their control and things outside their control. So I don't judge folks who walk in our door and say, mm-hmm. Hey, I know I'm behind. The other camp we see a lot is folks that have saved really well. They've been consistent savers, like you said, since they were in their 20s. Mm-hmm. Retirement was on their mind. They've made all the right decisions, but they just don't know enough about how retirement strategies work in terms of their financial plan to say with conviction, yeah, I've got this. I'm good to go. And even with all the amazing books that's been written on this and AI that can tell you things and Google searches to learn the different types of retirement plans and strategies, many Americans, even those who have saved well, can't really sit across the table from someone like me who works in this space and say how they're going to put it all together.
So you gave me some notes before we started today. One of the things you say is the real issue isn't always how much they have. Mm-hmm. What is it?
Well, first off, some people just don't know how to go from accumulation to distribution. This is a huge point, not just in the technical aspects, Jim, but also the emotional aspects of that. So we see clients who have maybe accumulated millions of dollars, literally, for retirement, and they walk in our door and they go, okay, I've got this pile. I'm really good at building the pile. I've been doing it for 40 years. But now I'm looking at it going, how do I actually turn this into resources, income that will support my lifestyle? And we'll talk in another segment about all that comes with that, with taxes and distribution rates and all of that. The second thing is just general fear. You know, when we have ignorance, when we don't know about something, fear often accompanies that ignorance. So people come in afraid. They say, you know, what if I make a mistake? What if the markets go bad? What if my investments aren't properly positioned? What if I make a tax error or a spending error and I can't recover from that? Because most people, once they retire, they see that as the end of their ability to generate new income. So whatever they've accumulated in their financial pile, if we want to call it that, the resources they've accumulated, that's it. Mm. So that's where the fear, you know, someone who is maybe very comfortable being an aggressive investor in their 30s, 40s, 50s, once they're in their 60s and looking at retirement, they kind of chicken out a little bit, Jim. They get scared. They say, well, I was okay with the market fluctuations when I was 30, but now, oh, I don't know if I'll live long enough to recover from a market downturn. So how should I prepare for that? And the fear and uncertainty comes into play. So, you know, whether it's just not knowing or being scared, people sort of freeze as they transition to retirement.
Do you see things that are deceptions, maybe cultural? For example, I know that many young people I talk with today, I'm going to kind of pick on young, if you're under 30, you might be in this category. I'm not embarrassed to say that, but I know a lot of people that have, you know, they've got a $10,000 American Express and they've got a limit on their Citibank for, you know, 10 grand. And they think that they have money because they have those two cards in their pocket. Talk to us about debt a little bit.
Yeah, so debt can be a big hindrance for retirement because we like to say debt presumes on the future. So if I buy something today that I will pay for tomorrow, which is what debt is, then I'm assuming that I have cash flow or a source to pay that. And well, when you get to retirement and you're no longer earning income, the only source to pay down that debt is what you've already saved. So now your dollars are in competition for paying for what you bought yesterday, paying your debts, and paying for what I'm going to need today and tomorrow. So if you think about money in terms of time, and debt is yesterday's expenses, I'm spending some money in the present, but my needs in the future are just as important. If you can remove the debt, then you take out one of those timelines. Now I'm only worried about what I need today and what I need tomorrow. I don't need to worry about paying for yesterday. And so debt can be one of the great barriers to retirement, not just because the payments I have to make on my debt now eliminate my ability to save for retirement, but also in retirement, if I have that debt hanging over me, well, now I've got this obligation to pay for you. I mean, all debts are bad. And Jim, there's some people that retire very successfully with a fair amount of debt, especially maybe a mortgage. But if you have the habit of always living with debt, like I know you used to do a lot of lending in the mortgage space, you'd see these people who always have a car loan. They just have always had a $40,000 or $50,000 or $75,000 car loan. They've always had it $800, $1,000.
And those payments are $1,000 a month.
So they just get so used to that being part of their cash flow. Well, that's not that big of a deal if you've got the wages to support it. But is that going to be sustainable when you retire, or how much more do you need to save to sustain that type of lifestyle? So your perspective on debt could be creating barriers to being financially independent, as we call it, where you don't have to trade your time for money.
Brian, you're a basketball guy. We were talking some basketball before. Of course, March Madness going on. Mm-hmm. But in preparation for this, I was reading over some notes that you sent over. And last night, I see this interview with Charles Barkley, you know, former NBA player. And he's talking about his time with the Philadelphia 76ers and talking to Julius Erving, who was, you know, a much more established veteran. And Julius Erving was trying to speak into this young man's life. Well, people know Charles Barkley's opinionated guy and stuff. But let me tell you, I was really impressed listening to the interview because the first thing he brings up is he says, Julius Erving said to him, how many cars do you have? Mm-hmm. He said, oh, I got 5 or 6. And Julius Erving goes, how many can you drive at one time? One. And so Julius Erving is telling Charles Barkley, and he's testifying this in this interview. I just was fascinated. And the best part is Charles listened and went and got rid of a bunch of cars, didn't need 4 houses. You know, there's just stuff. And so how do you, you know, you meet, you like to have clients that are like-minded. They want to follow Christian principles. Do you ever have clients that you kind of have to bring some gentle correction to and bring them to reality?
Yeah, and that's the privilege we have, honestly, Jim, of walking alongside the families that we serve is there's a trust we build there, and they are looking to us to tell them the truth, whether it's a hard truth, a kind truth, a happy truth. And sometimes the truth is you won't be able to sustain your lifestyle, you know, indefinitely like you would hope because you have too many cars, your house is too big, and we have a few families we serve where that's a big part of our advice is helping them coach or helping coach them to a sustainable lifestyle in terms of what they can actually afford. And really what's missing there, Jim, is, and our industry is guilty of this as much as anybody, is the word that's missing is enough. Mm. And there's a strong biblical principle about money management around contentment. We get a lot of joy from contentment. We get a lot of freedom when we're content. Contentment comes with gratitude and thanksgiving for what you already have. And what I see there, kind of the 5-car, 6-car person, Jim, that you're referring to, like Charles Barkley was, he was discontent. He was thinking the next car would make him happy rather than just saying, hey, 1 car is enough. I can be happy with this. Now, for a lot of people who save, just the average New Mexican, it may not be a 5th or 6th car, but maybe it's that you're buying a newer car, a more expensive car than you could, when you could be just content with that car that would leave you space to save for retirement and become financially independent.
Yeah, I that's really fascinating. We're talking with Brian Cochran today. He's a certified investment advisor. He has been on our show for quite a few years now. Brian, you started with me back, what, you want to say 8 years ago?
Was it that long ago?
And were you new to the investment business then, or had you been working in it for a while?
I'm approaching 20 years.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate to start very young in this industry, which allowed me to build up a business, but also, I mean, the benefit of being just immersed in this stuff all day long and, you know, being with families who are doing this well and then having the warnings from the families that maybe didn't do things so well financially has really served me well along my journey. And I've had great mentors along the way too.
Last question for this segment, and then we're going to transition into, you talked about uncertainty and we're going to talk about the actual cost and how people underestimate the actual cost of retirement. But before we go, I want you to tell us, why is it important for someone that needs to manage resources to have a person, a certified financial planner in place, as opposed to just trying to have your own investment account online? Is there a real advantage to working with an advisor?
I think there is. And I have a bias here, obviously, because that's what I do. But that'd be like going to a doctor and saying, do you think it's good to people do surgery on themselves or should they get a professional?
I have people actually telling me they want to diagnose themselves with AI now and not go to the doctor. That's a little scary.
Yeah, a little bit. And AI has some great benefits in our space. You can learn a lot there for sure. I think there's a couple of key benefits. The first is what we know. So having the training we have, the technical expertise is really important. The second is what we've seen. So the experience, you know, I've walked literally hundreds of families through retirement. So something you're doing for the first time and maybe the only time, I've already done hundreds of times. And there's, you know, lessons learned from each family I've served. So you accumulate that over 20 years and it matters, right? So what we know, what we've seen, and then what we believe. And so the faith aspect, working with a certified kingdom advisor, and that's a designation I hold and the financial planners on our team hold, means also that we know that God has the prescription. He has the the structure that we should participate in when it comes to our finances that will be successful. So, you know, we trust God that he's given us the formula for success. And so you put all those things together, and that's hard to replicate that on your own.
I love it. Brian Cochran with John Moore Associates with us today, and we're talking about, just the pitfalls of retirement and common mistakes that people make. Brian Cochran will be with us till the top of the hour. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with you, taking a little time to give Steve Ryman a day to get some things done. I appreciate you listening to ABQ Connect. I'm with Brian Cochran, good friend of the show, certified investment advisor and Kingdom advisor. He mentioned that right before the break. But before we get back to Brian and talking about common things that people make mistakes in planning their retirement, I want to mention that Good Friday, so April 3rd, is a time for you to come to Calvary and give blood. You know, it's a day where we're thinking about the sacrifices of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I kind of think it's a neat time to. I've signed up. I know Steve Ryman has, and other people here on our staff. So just go in, and if you go to our klyt.fm page and you click on the Good Friday blood drive, you'll be able to sign up. It doesn't take even a half an hour, and it's really important. We've got a lot of shortages, a lot of people with needs. So if you can donate blood, that would be amazing. I think it's a kind of a cool thing to do on Good Friday, too. Brian, stewarding blood is a whole different topic, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't do well with that. I tried it once, and I did not fare so well.
Yeah, I've been with some people that have had a little faint, you know, they call it a vasovagal response. I think I've done it so many times it doesn't bother me, but I got to tell you, a lot of people benefit from it. It's an amazing thing to do. Brian, you invest a lot, being here almost every Friday, sharing with us. Why have you made that investment?
Well, I actually planned to be an educator when I was in college and even in high school. I really enjoyed education, so I love teaching these concepts, and I think particularly these financial concepts are neglected. You know, they don't have a strong structure in our public schools to teach this. Thankfully, we now have a requirement for seniors to graduate high school. They now have to do financial literacy courses, or at least one course. So I think there's a lot of value in it, and it's missing. So that's why we sponsor Faith and Finance.
Yes.
Is so that message can be shared, that there's good and bad ways to manage money, and the Bible has a lot to say about money. So if we can just kind of walk alongside those guys and support them financially, but also share our own teaching and our own experiences, I think it may have value for others. So it's a lot of fun to give it back this way.
So educate is one of the things you start with when you start talking about the math problem. Mm-hmm. People don't even realize they are not prepared or they're insecure. And so talk to us about the math problem.
Yeah, so there's definitely an emotional aspect to retirement. And we talked about that pretty well a couple months ago. Steve and I did a whole hour on that. That was a lot of fun talking about spiritual considerations of retirement. But then there's just the numbers. The numbers matter. And what I see is there's a couple areas people sort of go wrong when it comes to preparing for retirement. The first thing is just underestimating how big their pile needs to be in order to sustain themselves for the rest of their lives, especially Jim, in this world where if I retire at 65 years old, I could live another 30 years. Mm. So that's a long time to support somebody without a lot of income. And so there's kind of three areas I see most commonly people underestimate costs. The first is the longevity piece. You know, you're not preparing to pay for your stuff for 5 years. You might be doing 20, 25, 30 years, and who knows how costs may change. The second is the cost of healthcare. Whether that be how your Medicare premiums will work after age 65, or how your Medicare supplement insurance costs, or what your out-of-pocket costs might be, or what long-term care costs might be. And I know, Jim, you have experience caring for aging loved Yes. ones, and it can be a big burden, but it can also be a financial burden. It can also be a gift, by the way. You know, there's a different perspective one can take on that. But healthcare can be a significant cost. And, you know, if you think about it, as we age, you know, the cost of care in our 60s and 70s is very different than the needs and the cost of care in our 30s and 40s. When I talk to a lot of our retired clients, I say, what you've been up to? And they talk about how they feel like they're at the doctor every week because they have different things they're dealing with. And the last piece that's missing is inflation. So we have a lot of engineers in New Mexico, thanks to our national laboratories and all the supporting companies. a lot of them will do their own sort of retirement calculations. They'll bring them into us, so proud of their spreadsheets. And these are really smart people. And the most common thing I see missing is they don't inflate their costs over time, which we know happens, that things are more expensive now than they were 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago. They will continue to likely be more expensive 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. So if you discount inflation, you're missing a big part of the cost of retirement. And just think about what it costs to buy your groceries now versus in the late 90s. I mean, inflation really makes a big difference.
Well, another statement here, which I understand, but I want you to explain to our audience, is people misunderstand a sustainable withdrawal. So we can all kind of understand that salary that we're being paid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're living on your own savings, or let's say that you have a pension involved, most pensions are sustainable. And a lot of people go to work like in government work. I know a bunch of teachers that are doing really well because they retired at a pretty high level after 30 years of their income, high percentage. But they didn't really calculate all the stuff they wanted to do during their golden years. So they have enough money to live and they can, you know, pay for their necessities. But that trip to Europe is still out of reach.
Yeah, so what we see here is, I've mentioned the word pile a few times, Jim, and what we see is sometimes a pile mentality, and we actually have done a segment on that as well. Steve and I did a really fun segment on that because it's very relevant. And the places I see the pile mentality come up is, first off, when someone receives sudden wealth, you know, an insurance settlement, an inheritance, you know, a spouse passed away and they get life insurance proceeds hitting their account. And when you see a large sum of money, it kind of seems infinite.
Yes.
You know, you see $100,000 come in if you've never had anything, or you see multiple millions come in, is what we work with a lot. People have, you know, large sums of wealth come available. But this also can happen when you've steadily accumulated dollars that are now available now that you're retired and you've set up $1, $2, or $3 million for retirement. It still looks like the same big pile. So rather than focus on how much is in the pile, what we try to coach clients is to ask, how much can I sustainably generate from this pile?
Mm.
So rather than think of it as $1 million, think of it as $40,000 a year.
Gotcha.
And the quick math I did there, Jim, is usually about a 4% withdrawal rate is the general rule of thumb thrown around the industry. So if you have $500,000 in retirement, that could sound like a lot, could sound like a whole lot, and that's nothing to sneeze at. But the other way to think of that in retirement is that's $20,000 a year. So that changes the perspective on that $500,000 pile. So that's how we try to coach people, is to think, first off, understand the cost of retirement, and then you have to sort of calculate out, okay, how much am I going to receive in Social Security or pension or both? Do I have other sources of income, like a rental property that creates a baseline cash flow? And then what's the difference between that baseline cash flow and my lifestyle? And then how big of a pile do I need to sustainably fill that gap?
Okay, so people are listening right now, and they're making a list of, you know, things that people make an error in. Mm. So let's say they're an older person like me, and they just got an inheritance, and they were thinking, well, now I can go buy a new car, I can pay off my house, I can do this and that. Brian, does a firm like yours meet with people like that and say, okay, you've got this money, this is how maybe we would suggest you'd structure it? Do you go through that and walk them through that?
Absolutely. So where we usually start is with a goal setting exercise of, well, what do you hope to accomplish? You know, what lifestyle do you want to lead? You know, are you living on $60,000 a year or $160,000 a year or whatever that number might be, or much more than that in some cases? You know, we have clients that are taking $50,000 a month out of their retirement accounts. You know, there's a lot of different lifestyles out there. So we start with that. And then we identify the resources. And sometimes what triggers this is, like we were saying, like a lump sum comes available. Something's happened that's triggered a need to evaluate their financial situation. And then we have really wonderful, powerful software tools that can help us calculate what's sustainable, take into account taxes, inflation, the timing of different sources of income coming and going, mortality risk, all these things that are floating around out there. We have tools that help us do that and calculate for that, and then illustrate that to a family or individual to say, okay, here's here's how you're doing. Do you have enough? And then how do we structure it to make sure it can meet your needs long term?
I like this quote from you. Retirement isn't about hitting a number or about how much you're saving. It's about creating a reliable income.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of have to understand budgeting to do that.
Well, yeah, and to make sure that reliable income is enough. One of the problems we see with some folks in retirement is for some reason, I don't know who perpetuated this myth, for some reason they think their expenses will go down significantly in retirement.
Mm.
But if you think about it, Jim, like when I go to work every day, the one thing I'm not doing is spending money.
Yes.
So I'm busy earning a living, but I, you know, aside from maybe going out to lunch, you know, I'm not really spending money during the day because I'm doing the things I need to do to earn a living. Well, once you retire, every time you leave the house, you're probably spending some money. So sometimes expenses may actually go up in retirement. So figuring out not just how to create a sustainable income, but how much income do I really need is a challenge. And if you think you're going to cut your lifestyle down by 20, 30, or 50% just because you've retired, you're probably lying to yourself because it's probably a lifestyle you spent decades building and it's not going to switch off just because you've decided to retire.
Tell us in segment three, what's probably an expense that people don't really calculate?
Yeah, they either don't calculate it because they forget or they don't calculate it because it's difficult, and that's taxes. So if we think about where most of your money goes while you're earning income, but also in retirement, for a lot of our retirees, their single biggest outlay could be income taxes.
Yeah.
They don't have a mortgage anymore. You know, it's maybe their giving and their taxes could be two of the biggest outlays they have every year. So it's an important one to know.
We'll be back with Brian, Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. JohnMoore.com is their website. Click on the Insights tab. And the reason I suggest that is there's all kinds of free information. No solicitation. It's just education. And most of your team contributes to that too, Brian. I was noticing that you're now putting up a lot of videos. And so when it comes to where are you going to invest a dollar with John Moore Associates, you kind of have a team of advisors, people specializing in different areas of investing.
Yeah, our team members, our different advisors may have certain types of clients they serve best based on their experience and sort of a niche that they serve. But there's a ton of collaboration amongst that group.
Yeah. Well, and this is all free information, which we appreciate you, again, part of your investment here at KLYT, Brian, and we appreciate you being here. We'll be back with Brian Cochran talking about taxes and retirement right after these messages. I really enjoy talking with Brian Cochran. He is a certified financial planner, investment advisor. JohnMoreAssociates.com is the website. He's here every Friday, either for 15 minutes or for an hour. Today we have him live in the studio for an hour. And I just really appreciate just all the insight, Brian. You've told us many things that are really give us good perspective. One of the expenses that people don't think about in retirement are taxes. And so there are vehicles that you can use when you're younger to avoid taxes when you're older?
Yeah, so a lot of people have been saving in retirement plans where they're deferring their income. They're putting money away, and that reduces their tax burden during their working years. But, you know, that comes back to roost, you know, later when you withdraw that money and it becomes taxable to you as a retiree. So that's one of the many ways people actually generate income in retirement. And there's some great strategies. You could do a two-hour segment easily on just the strategies for mitigating taxes. But the key is that if you don't have an intentional approach for income taxes, you're probably paying more than you necessarily have to. And that could impact your strategy for giving. It could impact your strategy for how much you take each year from different sources. But here's the key. You shouldn't just start thinking about this in retirement. Your strategy for how you save for retirement is also impacted by taxes.
Yeah. Tell us, give us an example. I mean, I know I see advertisements and there's so many on social media, Brian. It terrifies me because you don't know what's actually true. But you see those little 30-second blurbs where somebody says, if you buy such and such index fund from such and such a investment group and you save $50 a month for so on and so forth many years, you'll have $1.2 million tax-free at the end of it. Is that kind of stuff true?
Sometimes there's a stretch in there, but the key is everything has trade-offs. Mm. There's very, very few vehicles that allow you to save tax now and be tax-free later. There's limited options for that sort of thing. So the key with everything around finances, like most things in life, is weighing the trade-off. What freedom am I giving up? What rate of return am I giving up? What tax treatment today am I giving up for better treatment tomorrow? So tools aren't necessarily right or wrong, blanket. They can be right or wrong for each situation. So it's about the right fit.
Brian, I'm thinking there's people listening right now that go, I'm going to call John Moore Associates and see what kind of return they can get me. And they're going to compare you to somebody else. Oh, well, these guys told me they could get me 14% return. These guys are only going to get me 12, or these guys are going to get me 25. That's the kind of stuff that scares me, because none of that is real.
No, and the big phrase in our industry is past performance is no promise or no indicator of future results. So we can't promise outcomes. We can't promise returns. So what I can promise you with our team is we're always going to do our best to provide great service, control what we can control, perform good comprehensive financial planning, understand what's unique about your family, do the pieces that are within our control, like I said, and then the returns are subject a lot to what's happening in the market and having a good investment process. But taxes are one of those things, to an extent, we can control with the decisions we make before retirement and in retirement. And it matters for things like, how much am I taking from my IRA? How do I prepare for required minimum distributions, the money I must take out of pre-tax accounts once I hit a certain age? How do I account for the taxation of my Social Security that varies based on my total income? How do I account for my Medicare premiums, which shift based on my income? The more income I have, the higher Medicare premium I might pay. There's all these impacts driven. And so I see people who want to trade their portfolio constantly and try to find that edge. And sometimes it helps, sometimes it hurts their portfolio and their investments. In the end, they're making mistakes within the things they can control, that are so obvious. They're easy things if you know where to look. Just before I came here, I met with a client, retired couple, now in their early 80s, very successful financially. And we were looking at their situation, and I looked at their 2025 tax return. And in 2 minutes, I identified two places they could be saving meaningful tax dollars based on the new One Big Beautiful Bill Act that we've talked about here. Mm-hmm. Things that their CPA hadn't quite advised them on yet. So, good opportunities are there. You just have to take the time to understand the importance of tax and know that that's something that can be somewhat within your control.
You mentioned a CPA. Brian, a legitimate firm, including John Moore Associates, works with other professionals. Like, you don't ever, you recommend people talk to a tax advisor, somebody that specializes in that, or you have them talk with a real estate attorney about a real estate deal. You work closely with other professionals.
Yeah, and our advantage is we tend to be the one party that has the best overall picture of what's happening with the family that we're serving, whether it's, what are their total financial goals, what's their temperament for risk, what's their family structure. We know all that stuff really well because we're interacting with them the most. And then that gives us the ability to give some tax education and suggestions that we then bring to the tax advisor, or some estate planning education. Those are the two biggest areas that we advise, or we don't advise, but we coach on and then connect. So whether it's attorneys on the estate side, tax advisors on the tax side, also some great insurance professionals. So we know enough to identify when there's opportunities and challenges in those areas, and then we let the experts sort of take them the rest of the way.
Tell us some of the missed opportunities people have when it comes to tax planning with their retirement.
Yeah, one is about tax timing. What I mean by that is choosing when you start to take money out of these pre-tax accounts. And specifically in that is Roth conversions, the ability to move money from a pre-tax account to a tax-free account, which can create a tax liability now, but maybe that's a good thing. Maybe you're in a low income situation now that you won't repeat again in the future. So Roth conversions, if you're not at least considering that as part of your retirement plan, can be a big piece. And then tax diversification in general, starting to think of your tax dollars in the three different buckets, as we like to say. There's the tax deferred piece, which is like putting money in a 401k or a traditional IRA, where you're getting a deduction now, but that money will be taxable later, versus your tax-free portion, which is going to be health savings accounts and Roth IRAs that will be withdrawn tax-free in retirement. versus a taxable account, which is just money that's in your name or joint with your spouse or in a trust, where you're going to pay tax on the dividends and the interest and the capital gains incurred by those investments. Each of those has its own merits and its own value. And where tax planning is most flexible is when you have tax diversification, money set in those three different buckets, so that when the time comes for retirement, you can pick and choose when and how you generate income that's taxable in retirement.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned an HSA. I of course, am now on Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
Just happens to be the most affordable, most complete insurance, I mean, for somebody my age, rather than staying, you know, in employer-provided, you know, healthcare. Well, the reason I asked the question is because I finally had a doctor. I'm doing dips now almost a month ago, and I tear my rotator cuff. I've done dips every, you know, three times a week for 10 years. So why my shoulder decided, so now I have to go get shoulder surgery, which I'm going to do on May 8th, telling people stuff they probably don't care about. But I'm thinking in my mind, this doctor, this orthopedic said, you know, you're really in the sweet spot for orthopedic surgery. And I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, right now you're going to have, because you're a former athlete and you have this arthritis and that and this, and you're still very active, you're in the sweet spot for us. In other words, he's telling me that I'm going to be a profit center for the orthopedics. And I kind of was mad at first, and then I thought, he's just being honest. And we don't think about those expenses.
Now, the example I often give is my own father. So he, before he was on Medicare, he had to have a knee operation. And he was under traditional high deductible health plan insurance that many people listening right now probably have. They're working. And he maxes out of pocket at the year about $7,000 out of pocket between the deductible, copay, all that stuff to get his knee done. About a year and a half, 2 years later, he had to get a hip done, another pretty meaningful surgery. My dad was an athlete as well and worked, you know, in a high labor job. So his body's breaking down a little bit in his older age. That hip surgery was about $300 out of pocket because of Medicare plus his Medicare supplement.
Wow.
So I would say you're in the sweet spot because you're at an age where you can still recover well, that there's not a lot of risk for putting you under and having you on anesthesia. But also you're in a sweet spot because you're on Medicare.
Yes.
Right. And you still have a long time to enjoy the benefits of putting your body back
together. But Brian, you wouldn't believe, you get a bill, you know, just like you do when you're on regular insurance, and you get a bill and you see that they charge, you know, like I get an MRI and the MRI is like $6,000 and it only costs me $40.
Yeah.
But you don't realize how expensive all this stuff is. And so you better make sure you have good medical insurance when you get older.
I know you coordinate with the folks from Black Bear Medical, the Stewarts, who we refer clients to as well. And they do a great job coaching people on this transition to Medicare.
Yes.
But one of the things I mentioned is we're talking taxes during this segment. A lot of people don't understand that how they generate income in retirement will have an impact on how much that healthcare costs, because your Medicare premium, your Part B premium that comes out of your Social Security if you filed for it, is it fluctuates based on your income.
Your income.
The year before last year. So the income you generate here in 2026 will dictate your Medicare premium in 2028. And I've seen so many people that get surprised by that when they come in as new clients, like, oh, and by the way, I'm paying $500 a month for Medicare because I did this, this, and this. I didn't realize it was going to cost me thousands and thousands of dollars more, because that extra Medicare premium can be over $500 per person. So if you're in a married couple, you're talking $1,000 a month of additional expense you add if you're not careful with how you generate income in retirement.
I'm going to be fascinated with our next segment. Brian says that even with a solid plan, good math, and a tax strategy, there's one factor that can still derail everything. What's that, Brian?
It's our emotions, our feelings.
And we're going to be back to talk about that again as a pitfall of accurate retirement planning right after this. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. You know, we've talked about a lot of things that are common mistakes that people make in planning for retirement. And then, of course, there's of us that are technically retirement age, and we've made those mistakes. So if you're one of those people that's made mistakes, Brian, first of all, is there hope for people at the end that they can be more diligent and budget and manage what they have?
Give up, Jim.
Yeah.
Give up. No.
No, but see, I think there's people that do that.
Yeah. No, there's hope. And I think one of the big challenges, it's kind of like with health, Jim, like someone who's maybe wanting to become more fit or lose weight, you know, it's just, it's so daunting that people say, well, you know, I give up, or I'll just do it tomorrow. You know, with your finances, I always find these analogies with health where it's, well, you're better off starting today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing nothing is not helping. And so as we've talked about many times here is, you know, just start at least to build awareness. Where's my money going? Where do I have waste in my spending? You know, do I have a spending plan? Do I have an emergency fund? There's some of these basics. And what you'll find, and what I've seen with just so many couples I've served over the years and individuals, is that if you start with some momentum, just your own progress will encourage you so much and motivate you so much that you will continue to make progress. And then typically, the kind of the magic of good financial management is you get the benefits of exponential growth over time.
Mm-hmm.
So just starting something at some point is better than doing nothing and ignoring it, and then possibly being faced with very difficult decisions in the future.
So now I want to focus. You've said you've talked to people that are my age. I appreciate that encouragement. But I also want you to talk now about what you call in our segment four, the behavioral trap. How do emotions get in our way of planning, especially when you're younger?
Yeah, and I'd say, Jim, it is when you're younger, but also as you're approaching retirement, sometimes the emotions kind of ramp up because you're entering a new phase, and that comes with uncertainty, fear, concern. And this is really, you know, we talked about taxes being a surprise for people. I think this emotional aspect is what catches some people off guard. They may know they're going to pay tax in retirement. They may know how Medicare works. They may know even how much they can sustainably take from their investments. All the things we've talked about so far may be on their radar. What hits them, you know, just out of nowhere is how much their emotions shift. So when you're saving, what we often see is kind of those 30s, 40s, and 50s, when you're saving most of your money from retirement, the emotional aspect might be just the desire to, you know, the fear of missing out. You know, so you chase speculative investments because it seems like everyone else is getting rich, or the fear of loss causing you not to grow your investments. I met with a gentleman today, he's 94 years old. His wife's been in a memory care facility at $12,000 a month for four years.
Wow.
Huge expense. But I look down, he and his wife are always very comfortable taking market risk. Even at that rate, we've earned more on his investments than he's paid in all of his expenses, including his wife's medical care, for the last 3 years, because they're willing to take risk and they understand the benefits of having a portfolio that has some exposure to risk. So, you know, the emotional barrier some people face keeps them from having the right level of growth or experiencing the upside benefits of markets. And what I would say is that sometimes peaks right before or right around retirement, because you're entering a new phase that is uncertain, right? You're kind of like walking into a dark room. You don't know what's in there if you've never been in that room before, and you're afraid you're going to stub your toe on something. And that's what happens. We've seen some of the worst emotionally driven decisions happen to people who have always been high risk tolerance, wise, patient investors, good financial decision makers, and there's nothing we can do sometimes to coach them away from bad emotionally driven decisions because they're faced with this just stark uncertainty that's this new chapter of life in retirement.
Well, I noticed a couple advertisements whenever the war broke out in Iran. Mm-hmm. People are talking about, oh, take your money out of the stock market and buy gold.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's going to be a catch-all for everything.
Yeah, gold's performed horribly.
Horribly.
Since this happened. Yeah.
Horribly.
You know, recently, again, gold's had a great 12
yes.
months, but the last few weeks has not been good. Now, and that's the unfortunate part, Jim, is that there are a lot of people that market towards that fear.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the fear of missing out, hey, you're not getting the upside, everyone else is getting rich but you, or the fear of losing money, like, oh, if you don't do something, you're so stupid because you're going to lose it all.
But I've heard, Brian, people say don't invest in the stock market when you're older because it's too volatile. But you've told us empirically, backed up by data, that you take a slice out of the last, you call it 100 years, and any 20-year period in that slice is going to show positive growth in the stock market.
Yeah, and what I try to remind people too, we talked at the beginning about longevity. You know, people, if I'm a year from retirement, my investment timeline is not a year. My investment timeline is a year plus how long I'll live my retirement year. So if I'm going to retire at 65 and I'm in good health, I've got a 25-year retirement timeline, 30 years. You can't tell me that it's not reasonable to take some level of market risk when you have a 30-year timeline on some of your money. Now, you might need to layer that such that the money you need for the first 12 months for retirement is not at risk. But to totally move away from the market or dramatically move away from the market is not the right answer for most people. So that's the first pitfall, is that the fear of market loss or downside makes people invest too conservatively, and they're not growing their investments then fast enough to keep up with their spending and inflation. Or maybe you're actually in a period of market volatility, in a major correction like we saw with COVID, or in 2022 when inflation became an issue, or going back to 2008, you get a spike in volatility and you sell out in a panic rather than, you know, make wise decisions during a time of stress.
The best quote that I have on these notes that you sent me: the biggest threat to a retirement plan isn't always the market, it's how you react to it.
Exactly, because the big difference there, Jim, is, you know, if I see my portfolio drop by 20%, let's say, but I maintain my investments, I give myself the potential to make that back and then move forward.
That happened during COVID when you were interviewing me, or I was interviewing you, and you just said, hey, don't get out, stay in the market. And man, everybody that did just knocked a home run.
Yeah, we were moving money into stocks at that time when people were selling. So, you know, and I think about back in 2008 when I was serving clients then as well, and the people who panicked out, there was no opportunity to recover. So the money that won't recover is the money you lose to taxes, because that's a one-way ticket to Washington. That money doesn't come back generally. Or the money you lose because you've fallen into safe investments in a time of panic rather than taking advantage. So the risk there, if you are too conservative, is again, you're not going to keep pace with inflation. You are sacrificing a good feeling today, a feeling of security, a feeling like you did something. That's sometimes for men especially, we like to fix problems. We like to feel like we're doing something. You know, you're getting that feeling now, but you're risking running out of money later, and you don't really have a lot of options later in life of how to make new money. So we don't want to lock in those losses. We don't want to miss recoveries. And oftentimes we discount the probability of good news that could move the market higher. So, you know, there's just that risk that you're being overly reactive. And I would say, again, in retirement, this happens more often because people see that fixed pile they've accumulated. They know they're not adding new money to it. So when they see it decline, it can be extra scary. I respect that. But that's where an objective third party, like the advisors that we have on our team, can walk alongside you and say, hey, I understand how you're feeling, and you know, we can rationalize this a little bit, but really we just need to make sure we don't let those feelings you have result in poor actions, bad decisions.
Brian, how do you feel about older people? I would fall in this category that continue to work. I just have to say, I just love being on the radio, doing interviews with people. I find it funny. I had a person, very, very nice person, say, hey, how do you know all this stuff that you talk to your clients about? And I said, well, if you listen, I'm not the guy that knows anything. It's the people I'm interviewing that know everything. And that's really descriptive of you. You help all of our listeners. You help me. I appreciate all that investment time. How do you feel about people that just keep working and generating a little income?
Well, whether it's to make income or just to be involved in something, I think it has great benefit for your emotional well-being, social benefits, you know, keeping yourself cognitively sharp, learning, growing. The gentleman I mentioned earlier, who's 94 years old, he served as a physician into his 80s.
Wow.
And I think it's a reason why he's coming to my office, walking on his own in 94 and having a very sharp conversation with me. I have no question about his cognitive abilities at 94. It's crazy. We have another client who's 93 and goes on cruises every year.
So I love it.
It's because of that activity and that engagement in life.
Brian, you're a young man. You've got two boys, both athletes, going to high school, and you and your wife are doing all this planning for yourselves as well. So we appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.